The story is told of a holy man and a significant person came to him to seek his advice. And he said, first, let's have tea. And so he was pouring his visitor's tea, and he kept pouring, and it went over the top of the cup and onto the table. And when his visitor objected, he said, you are like that cup. You are so filled with your own ideas that you can't receive anything new. Come back when your cup is empty. Isn't that the problem with the Pharisee in this gospel story? He's so filled with his own self-righteousness that he cannot be justified by God, whereas the tax collector can. So it's a story of humility, but it's also a story of judgment. There are so many facets to this gospel story. Jesus addresses this parable to those who are confident of their own righteousness and are judging other people. They despise others. So when you are filled with your own self-righteousness, it's only natural that you start judging other people around you. You're filled with comparisons. You can't see the log in your own eye because you're so filled with that self-righteousness. In a way, this is kind of the original sin. Adam and Eve, creatures dependent upon God, but given everything they need by God, but they want to self-save, they want to self-determine, and so they reject the direction by God, and they self-direct. They want to be their own gods. And this is always a temptation then, throughout human history, always a temptation to self-direct and not allow ourselves to be creatures, to be proud instead of humble. And Christ, the perfect human being, the God-man, gives us the prime example of what that looks like in a human body. He's so filled with confidence of the Father's love that he does not doubt anything. He knows he is son. He knows he is heir. He knows that he is equal to the Father, and yet his whole life is an acquiescence to the Father's will. Not my will, but yours be done. He's that perfect blend between confidence and humility, between knowledge that he is saved and the desire to be given salvation at the same time. It's hard for us to come to that balance. Paul is a kind of an example of that too. In this letter to Timothy, he starts off rather boastful, doesn't he? I've run the race, I've kept the faith, and from now on, a merited crown awaits me. But not only me, but to all those who have longed for his appearance. And then he says, I have been rescued from the lion's mouth. You know, Paul is always aware of his prior sinfulness, that he was a great sinner and that he was forgiven, and that forgiveness is what turned him around. Paul was a Pharisee. He knew the law. He obeyed the law. He had every reason to be just like this Pharisee in the gospel story. But then, in the midst of his pride, he got struck down by a vision of Christ. And he got forgiven for his wrongness, forgiven for all of the mistakes that he had made, and turned his life around. And from then on, filled with confidence, I mean, think of the confidence that Paul would need to have had to make all those missionary journeys all the way to Rome, the political leader of the whole world at that time. And the confidence to go to his own death. He shares in the very confidence of Christ. But he also shares in Christ's humility. He recognizes that he's not the only one saved, and he isn't judging. You know, Christ says on the cross, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And Paul in this passage says, no one stood by me, they all abandoned me. May God forgive them for that. No judgment. Confident is in himself, but not judging others. Able to see the splinter in others' eye because he's aware of the log in his own. He's aware of his own need for God. He's an empty cup. Well, we do the same thing every time we come to Mass. The first thing we do is we call to mind our sins and we say out loud, I am a sinner. I am in need of redemption. Lord, please have mercy. We're putting ourselves in the right relationship before God. We're putting ourselves as sons and daughters of God, recognizing that we are called here by grace. We have the courage and the strength to come here, the confidence of our faith and our hope that brings us here to this table, and yet we're also conscious of our sin. We're conscious of our emptiness of our cup, our need to be redeemed by Christ, because we cannot redeem ourselves. And so then we do the same thing that Christ did. We offer ourselves. Having been given this great gift of redemption, we offer ourselves for the salvation of the world. In the same way that Jesus goes to his death worried more about the rest of us than about himself and his own life, we come to make this offering for the salvation of the world, almost more worried about their salvation than our own, because we have this confident assurance that our salvation has already been won for us on the cross.